Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of The Sidelined. I'm your host, Addison Ouellette. And today's show, we will be talking about Earl Thomas. Could he be possibly traded to the Cowboys? And if so, does he fit what the Cowboys want to do this year? Our next segment will be Jameis Winston's suspension and how it affects the Buccaneers and possibly Jameis's career with the Buccaneers and his future. And then finally, we'll end the show off looking at the CFL, the Canadian Football League, and the game between the Riders and the Tiger Cats that happened on Thursday. So let's waste no time. Let's start off with Earl Thomas. This came out, rumors have been thrown out. Draft night was an example that the Seahawks were looking to trade Earl Thomas to the Cowboys for a second round pick that year. At that time, I don't think it was a good idea. 29, coming off of an injury. But let's look at it through the Seahawks, through their view at the moment. The Legion of Boom is falling apart. It's gone, basically. You lost Richard Sherman. You lost Michael Bennett. Cam Chancellor retired due to a neck injury. You just have Bobby Wagner, who's still young, who I don't think the Seahawks are looking to move him at all. And then you have Earl Thomas, who is 29, last year on his contract, and wants to leave. And I think it's the right move to do. You know, it's time to move on from the old and try and bring in more. It's a new era in Seattle. We went from the Legion of Boom, I think, was strong until they lost that heartbreaking loss against the Patriots, the Malcolm Butler interception, to now they're more becoming Russell Wilson's team. Those first two Super Bowl trips, one they won and one they lost, that defense took them, helped them. And Russell Wilson, it wasn't his team yet. You could argue, you could compare it like Brady in the early 2000s when they went to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, when he first started, wasn't the Tom Brady we see him now. It was that defense that kept them going to the Super Bowl. So now the Seahawks are going into a new era with Russell Wilson. Now it's flip side. Let's look at the Cowboys. The Cowboys, at the moment, their defensive back group isn't the greatest, you could say. Those safeties are probably the weaker part of that in those corners. So by bringing in Earl Thomas, you get a one healthy Pro Bowler, one of the best safeties in the league by bringing him in. But not only that, you bring in that leadership of he knows how it feels to win a Super Bowl. Not only knowing the feeling, he knows the heartbreak of losing. And you bring that leadership into that young defensive back system. I think it helps them a lot. Not only does that help them a lot, I think because at the moment Cowboys' true offensive threat is Zeke. You have Zeke, and that's about it. If you're stopping Zeke, the last thing you need is your defense getting beat and other teams scoring on you, which then leads more pressure on Zeke and Dak, and they could fall short on that. By bringing in Earl Thomas, I think that strengthens the defense for sure. he wants to be there. This year, no go. I'd be willing to give him a third. A third this year. And if they're asking for one more pick, the highest I'd go next year, so 2020, I'm giving them maybe a fourth. That's the highest I'm going. If I don't need to give up another pick, I'm happy with that. I'm excited. I just got Earl Thomas for a third round pick. When healthy, he's a Pro Bowler. That's the issue. When healthy. By bringing in Earl Thomas, I also believe it helps the Cowboys cement themselves in that NFC conference that they're in. You have the Eagles. Eagles are slotted in number one in the conference that year. Their conference. Unless injuries happen and some crazy thing. So it's that. By bringing in Earl Thomas, I believe it's the Cowboys. If you don't bring in Earl Thomas, I think that's a dog battle between the Redskins and the Cowboys. And then you have the Giants who are, how are they going to look? New head coach. Guys getting healthier. Is Odell going to be? How good is Odell going to be? What Eli's future looking like? How's that offensive line? That defense still the same? So they're close to the bottom. I think second spot in the NFC, their conference, could be a dogfight. And by putting Earl Thomas in that, I believe it helps them a lot, the Cowboys a lot, to have that second spot. Yeah, it just matters what are the Cowboys asking for. I'm not the Cowboys, the Seahawks, what the Seahawks are asking for. For the Seahawks, it's time to get younger. Look at our division around you. They're all young teams. Yeah, you want to have some vets like Bobby Wagner, but maybe it's time to dial it down, get younger. Maybe have a bad year. Well, not, you're not going to have a bad year. I think you're going to be still able to make the playoffs. I think it's time for the Legion of Boom to be gone. It's gone. Richard Sherman is now a 49er. Michael Bennett is a Eagle. And Cam Chancellor retired. Just trade Earl Thomas away for something, at least something. You could get, say, maybe the highest they get is a fourth this year. But you could put that fourth in a fifth. To maybe move up in the third or get picks. So they may not be that number one first round pick you want, but you can move picks around to move up in the draft. Cowboys, don't be giving anything up too much. Don't be selling the barn. Selling the farm. Well, that is that for that topic. If you want to discuss with me on Twitter or comment your thoughts, just tweet me at @A_Olet31. So let's get into our next segment. Jameis Winston, his 3-game suspension, and what does this mean for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and how it affects Jameson's relationship with this team. Not only now, but possibly for the future. The Buccaneers, their backup quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic. Look what he did with the Jets. Showed up. Could win some games if their schedule wasn't as tough as it is. Their schedule, if I saw correctly, home against the Eagles, home against the Steelers. That is a high possibility that first three games, Buccaneers are 0-3. I think they could be 1-2. They're not going 3-0. They're not winning three games. Two games, that's asking a lot. I think they can maybe sneak away a game against the Steelers, maybe. Because that linebacking without Ryan Shazier, that's a huge loss for the Steelers. You saw it in the Steelers and Jaguars game that they were lost without him. But by going 0-3, possibly, for the Buccaneers, man on a mission, no matter what. You got to come man on a mission looking to save your job. You haven't had the greatest career so far. Still very young. Worth the number one overall pick. Buccaneers haven't been great around him, but he hasn't had the great start to his young career. Three-game suspension doesn't help. It doesn't also help that their coach at the time, you could say he's on the hot seat. John Gruden was supposed to replace him, ended up going to Oakland. So I think he's on the hot seat. But for Jameis Winston, now looking at Jameis Winston, it doesn't matter if the coach is on the hot seat. If you come out, show that you're on a mission, you know, getting those close games but just losing out because defense makes one bad play or something like that. Bad draw by Deshaun Jackson. Little stuff like that. But you're right in there. And you're not throwing interceptions. You're coming out man on a mission like that. I don't think you lose your job as Winston. I think that then the blame, if they have a bad season, the Buccaneers as a team have a bad season, but Jameis has a good season, the blame goes on the coach. The coach is gone. Let's say you're looking at the Buccaneers, and as a team, you good game, good team, played good games, not making the playoffs, but they were close, but Jameis has an awful year. As the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, do you look and think, maybe it's time to move on from Jameis? Bold move. You spent the first overall pick on him. Bold move to do, but you just say, you know, you've given him his shot. This offense isn't awful. It's improved throughout Winston's career with the Buccaneers. But do they look and say, I'm sorry, Winston, you're just not our guy, and let him go? Now, what could happen, if that does happen, you let him go. Say Winston goes to a different team and has success. Has that. He becomes a league MVP. He's winning in the playoffs. Or now as the Buccaneers, you're looking at, just what did we just do? We just cut a MVP playoff winning quarterback. But if you're looking, if he has a bad year, you kind of have to, like, this offense isn't awful. Maybe you look at keeping him and drafting a young guy to say, hey, Winston, if you don't show up, we got this guy behind you. We got no problem starting him. Instead of completely leaving Winston and ditching him. But Winston, your three-game suspension this year, this isn't good. You haven't had the start where you look at he hasn't had the start when, you know, he's been so good that, you know, three-game suspension, still he comes in number one guy. What if Fitzpatrick ends up working some magic and wins some games, wins 103, that, no, 102. And that second, one of those losses were a close one. When Winston comes back, does he even have the starting job if Fitzpatrick's doing well? I've heard from sources, what I've heard watching videos, I think the Buccaneers are getting a little fed up. Just a little bit. But you can't bail on Winston yet, I think. I think you have to keep him. He comes in. No matter what, I think you say, okay, Jameis, Fitzpatrick, want us, then you got to show up. You have to get this offensive unit clicking. You're a leader. We need you here. He comes out, does that, still defensive side, doesn't perform, they end up losing, head coach's boot, just like I said earlier. But who knows? We never know. Who knows? Maybe the Buccaneers right now are right three. They're calling the Eagles saying, how can we get Nick Foles on our team? We don't know. I don't have the sources or any of that knowledge to tell you if that's going on. But you never know. Teams are exploring. I bet you the Buccaneers are exploring for a quarterback. Could possibly start those three games if they don't have faith in Fitzpatrick. But we're getting close to the end of the segment, so let's transition. Let's move on. If anything, again, comment. We can have this conversation. What does this suspension mean for Jameis Winston? If he doesn't show up this year, what's his possible future with this team? Is it with the team? Is it without? Is it Jameis Winston's going to have a good year? The team doesn't have a good year, so the coach is out. Or is it they both have bad years? So clean slate, get rid of all that stuff. Bring in a young coach who wants to work with a young quarterback and bring in a new young quarterback. Okay. So let's move on. We're about to start our final segment, talking about the CFL, Canadian Football League. I am a Saskatchewan boy, Canada boy. I grew up watching the Riders quite a lot. I kind of lost interest, became more into the NFL, and now I'm trying to get back to my roots, watch the Riders. This game happened Thursday. Riders won 18-13. You're thinking, okay, defensive game, strong defensive game. Teams must have showed up defensively, which they did. But man, oh man, that Rider offense. Let's start with the Rider side. That Rider offense was awful. Awful, awful, awful. Chris Jones couldn't decide if he wanted Watford in Pristern or Bridge. You can't be doing that in the middle of the game. You cannot. Neither of those quarterbacks are going to find their groove at all. I don't blame them. But play calling, McAdoo, they didn't trust either quarterback to throw deep, I felt like, personally. I didn't feel like they were thrown deep. And also that, one of the plays, Messam on the backfield, running east-west. Messam is not an east-west guy. Messam is a north. You give him the ball between the tackles, between the guards, he makes his money. He gets you those yards. But not only were they tried to run them east and west, they tried to run a screen. Messam, he's up there for age, but he's also a big guy. When he's not going to be moving too well. So I think that's a huge issue for that game with the offense for the Riders. Now, looking out defensively, Chris Jones, he makes me angry sometimes. Because defensively, he's a good coach. I like how what he does. But then he goes and rushes only three. Three, and that just drives me insane, trying to rush three. But then he comes out and rushes four, blitzes, and gets these straight blitz calls, and we're getting pressure. But overall, that defensive unit won the game. They had to switch Jerome Carter around, played him at corner a bit, moved him to safety. Safety, I think, is the best for him to be if he's playing on the defensive backfield. You give him the ability, he's off the ball already. You just tell him, drop back into your zone, watch the quarterback, make a play. That's all you got to tell him. Versus lining him up at corner. If he's playing a cover two, he's got to know, okay, I have to jam my wide receiver, push him inside, closer to the safety, and I have to cover my zone, my flat zone. Or you got, okay, I've got bump and run with this guy, which Carter isn't good at. But I feel like if he were to play defensive back, put him at free safety, let him drop back, be able to watch the quarterback, have that, let them come to him so then he can make a play. Okay, enough on the Rider side. Talk about the Tiger Cats, Hamilton. Let's start with their offense. Offensively, they looked good. Started the game, I was quite shocked that they were running the ball. Not only running the ball, they were running the ball efficiently. They were running well. And then they just can't go away from it. I think they should have used that momentum that they had when they were rushing the ball to rush. Okay, play action now. Take the top off with Banks. And another thing offensively, quietly, Mazzullo, Jeremiah Mazzullo, threw for 300 yards. It wasn't one of those, he drops back and throws a 70-yard bomb. No, it was a quiet 300-yard passing yards game for Mazzullo. Defensively, for the Hamilton, they did well. They blitzed. They got in Bridge and Watford's face a couple times. I think you've got blitz more, though, to get to the Riders. Which, on the Rider half, look at that offensive line. That offensive line actually showed up. They were, impressive. I was quite shocked at how good they actually looked. But Hamilton, you didn't do anything wrong, I think. You just, that one fumble that happened when Jeremiah dropped back. Hughes, is that his name? Strip, sack, ball in there, catches it, runs it for a touchdown. That doesn't happen. Hamilton walks away with the win. But now let's get to the conversation of, for both teams, what they did well. What they did well, not what they did well, but what coming into the next week they play, what do they need to do? What stuff they can build on that they did well this week to help them win next week? Let's start off with the Riders. Riders, first point. Get the offensive unit going. McAdoo, you've got to find plays. You're going to be stuck with either quarterback. So Chris Jones, pick your guy. Bridge, Watford, pick your guy. That's your starter. Pick him. Go to McAdoo. Let's design some plays that we believe, either of these quarterbacks, throw in some short, let's throw in some medium, let's throw in some deep throws, let's throw in some design runs. These both Ryder quarterbacks can run. So let's take advantage of that. So that's the first point the Riders need to do. The second, take this good game for the offensive line and give them some confidence. Guys, great. They do have, both teams have bye weeks next week, if I'm correct. Let's take this confidence. We're going to Hamilton next. Let's play well. You guys play well. Let's go over there and play well. That's what you got to do for the offensive line. Last point, defensively, do your own thing. Chris Jones, you know how to work that defense. I was quite impressed how they were doing. Just try and get Carter onto the offensive side. Hamilton, first point, come out running. You were running the ball well. And you have the young talent to run the ball. Run the ball. And don't be afraid to run it first down, second down. If you find your groove. Your second point, I feel like second area is offensively, don't be afraid to take your shot. I feel like Banks is one of the faster wide receivers. Get him the ball. Take your shot deep. I saw a lot of screens and stuff like that. Okay. Try and take it up, because once Banks gets the ball, he'll get you some yards after catch. And last point, I feel like the Hamilton Tigers fans need to do defensively. Both, I've talked about offense, I've talked about defense. Defensively, Tiger Cat, blitz. That's what you need to do. You need to blitz against this offensive line. They had a good game. I don't know if they show up again. So blitz them and make them feel uncomfortable. Make Bridges, make Watford, whatever one they are starting, make them feel uncomfortable. Because they are still young, so they're going to get the jitters. And overall, I believe if they do well, they're going to have the chance. The Tiger Cats could possibly win at home. Because Hamilton's been a good team. Just the Tiger Cats at home, it's going to be a great game, I think. Riders coming into Hamilton, you got to have that offensive line going. You got to have a game plan for either quarterback that is starting for you to be successful. And run the ball defensively, blitz, do your same thing, be able to keep them down, not throwing the ball, and the Riders could sneak away. If I'm to pick, they are at Hamilton. I think the Tiger Cats sneak away. But we're getting to the close of the show. Thank you for listening to the first episode of The Sidelines, and enjoy your weekend.